You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
It's an Axel Christmas, it's a Hard Rock holiday, so we're all singing welcome to the jungle all the way.
It's a Flopcast Christmas, it's a demented holiday. Hi, this is Dr. Demento, stay demented.
And then we'll get tattooed.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 344.
On Flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Well, hi, Kevin.
This is a special festive day here in Chickentown.
Special is one word you could use
describe. It's a holiday special day.
What's about to happen here?
Why, it's practically Life Day.
Oh,
and you don't even know what that means, probably, but you
not
will.
Not yet.
All too well.
I have a feeling I know what it relates to.
Yeah, so we're here to conclude your year-long project, right? This is the finale.
Yes. In an official manner of speaking, but guess who still hasn't watched her movie for October yet?
What? I thought you were caught up on all your... Once a month you're watching a movie that you should have seen long ago. I didn't realize you still had stuff you were behind on.
I still need to watch My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, My Cousin Vinny. Oh, no. All right.
On a scale of 1 to My Cousin Vinny, how does today's movie rank?
They're very similar.
Okay, good. What is that?
Okay, we have to... Let me stop you right now. There's a weird... We can hear some music and a vehicle outside.
Those are the carolers I ordered.
Those might be Life Day carolers arriving. Little Wookiee children are assembling outside the studio because they know it's coming. We ordered some pizza pie because every time we watch... Oh, okay. Here we go. Speaking of which... All right. Pie Man's here.
Or some Wookiees.
All right, we'll just sit here and listen. The mayor is going to get the pizza.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
This is so exciting. This is live pizza pie podcasting. This is podcasting history.
Because we've talked about having pie on the show before. But
we've never actually heard the pie arriving during the show, but now the mayor just made the transaction. There was an exchange of money and pizza. All right, so now we got to rush this now, this opening. The plan today is we're going to catch you up for December, at least, if not October, and we're watching the horrifying, notorious Star Wars holiday special. That's happening today, right now.
All 2 hours of it.
It's 2 hours long, which at least I finally remember that, because every time I would go to watch this, I would always be caught off guard by the fact that it's 2 excruciating hours long, and it feels like 11 hours.
I meant to bring my Snuggie. I forgot.
Settle in.
I thought it was going to be me and my Snuggie against the Star Wars holiday special. But... Look,
that is sort of how the Wookiees are dressed by the end of this thing.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Wookiee Snuggie?
Wait until you see how the Wookiees are dressed. We're going to get there. First of all, you have a Whatever Day?
I do.
Let's get a National Whatever Day out of the way first, Cornflake. There's pie waiting very close by, so let's do this. What is National Whatever Day?
December 12th is National Lost Day. Now, if I say National Lost Day, you might first think of the television show that was on from, 2004 to 2010?
Yeah.
That television show with the plane crash and the Mystery Island.
I know it all too well. I watched it, which was a huge mistake. You didn't watch it, did you?
I didn't.
Okay, don't waste your time. So what's the real story behind Lost Day? And keep in mind that there's pizza waiting in the next room.
All right, well... It's the holidays. Yep. People are distracted. Perhaps even
I'm
more
distracted
than...
right now.
Yes. We here at the Flopcast are distracted by pie at the moment, but it happens during the holidays that people are more forgetful and therefore more likely to lose things than they are at other times of year. Lost Day is in honor of being more mindful of your stuff so you don't lose it.
All right.
So, you know, it seems to me, and I bet you're going to second this, Kevin, that every day is kind of lost day for me. I am constantly losing things.
Oh, yeah.
So this is definitely an occasion that resonates with me. How about you?
No, I never lose anything.
That's what I figured.
Yeah. All right, moving on.
There's pie to eat.
Oh, yeah. Before we go grab our pizza pie, And then we're going to dive into the Star Wars Holiday Special. What do you know about the Star Wars Holiday Special?
Bea Arthur is somehow involved.
Oh, yes, she is.
That's all I know.
Okay, that's an important point. That's really the most important thing about the whole show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good, I'm on the right track.
Okay, well...
Oh, I've also heard that it's more like a, rather than a one cohesive story, is it a little more like a variety show?
It sure is.
Okay.
Yeah. But everything about it is horrifying and weird and wrong. It's amazing.
And it's 2 hours of this.
Hang on for the ride of your life. All right, you ready to go?
Yes.
We're going to grab some pizza. This will be Cornflake's introduction to, and this is the 40th anniversary year, we should say. We're celebrating 1978's Star Wars Holiday Special. Okay, Cornflake, that was the Star Wars Holiday Special. You survived, I think.
It's everything you told me it would be.
What are your initial thoughts before we dive into the horrifying details?
Horrifying is a great word. I've been sitting here ever since this 2-hour movie ended thinking, could it have benefited from editing?
It could have benefited from a lot of things going very differently.
It's true. I'm glad I got a chance to watch it once.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I remember you describing a Dragon Con fundraiser where people paid to get out of watching that.
Yeah, well, I've been a part of several events involving the holiday special now. And yeah, that was one of them. Last year at Dragon Con, we did a late night screening of the holiday special as a charity fundraiser. Donations were collected as people ran screaming for the exit.
And I see why now.
Yeah, they made a lot of money.
Right.
It worked really nicely. And just a few weeks before that, last summer, I was out at Convergence and I did a panel about the holiday special. And there's a dedicated holiday special fan base in the Minneapolis area.
Didn't somebody dress like Bea Arthur?
Yeah, my buddy Amanda. I met Amanda and Teresa and Philip and all these wonderful Star Wars fans that are part of the fan community out there. And yeah, Amanda does a beautiful Bea Arthur Akmina costume. We covered the holiday special again at Dragon Con this year, because when we did Classic Sci-Fi Court, where a bunch of us will defend horrible movies, I defended the Lost in Space movie from 1998, and Joe Crow, who's normally the judge for Classic Sci-Fi Court, came down off the bench to be one of the defense attorneys, and Joe defended the Star Wars holiday special very, very passionately.
I remember him defendifying for this.
Yes, he delivered a stirring manifesto about the glory of the Star Wars holiday special. So yeah, a lot of us, as ridiculous as it is, a lot of us absolutely adore it. But yeah, most people have never seen it. And most people, if they do know what's going on, they desperately try to avoid it. So do you want to kind of talk our way through this, what you just witnessed?
Sure. So I don't understand what happened during the first half hour of the movie because it was Wookiees communicating with each other with nobody translating and there were no captions.
Yeah, I watched the clock when this thing started because I'm always astounded by how long that opening scene goes on. But yeah, it's set at Chewbacca's house. There's like a big house up in the tree on the Wookiee planet. And we're looking at Chewbacca's family. Chewbacca's not home yet. He's trying to get home to celebrate Life Day with the wife and the grandpa and the son. And I clocked it at about 9 minutes. It's literally the first 9 minutes.
Wow.
Which, that's a long time.
Yeah.
It's
a long time to not know what anybody is really talking
about.
That's
longer than it sounds like. You just watch 9 minutes of Wookiees talking to each other in the Wookiee language. And yeah, as you said, no captions. You're just watching people in fursuits growling at each other.
Yep.
There is a slight break somewhere in the middle there because they pop on that holographic acrobats routine.
Yes.
So a couple of minutes of that 9 minutes is Lumpy, the goofy son Lumpy, is just watching the weird hologram feathered bird people flipping and dancing around.
And you don't even know why they're there.
They're just there to burn time. We have to fill 2 hours.
That was pretty funny.
All right, so then we cut to the Chewbacca's family contacts Luke. So here's Luke Skywalker and R2-D2. And they communicate with him. They discuss how Chewie is missing. There's actual Mark Hamill appearing. And R2-D2 is not Kenny Baker. Kenny Baker was not part of this project. One of the few cast members to somehow avoid this project. I'm sure he wouldn't have had a problem with it. He was probably working somewhere else or they just figured they didn't need him. The R2-D2 that appears in the holiday special is just remote control. There's nobody inside.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a real robot.
Oh.
What I love about that scene, though, we see Luke and R2 and they're working on something. All that smoke kicks up.
Yeah.
And for one thing, so much that I started suspecting it looked like R2-D2 was just trying to murder Luke, yep. I think. Just going to smoke him out. But also it reminded me of the PSA from this time, that the C-3PO and R2-D2 and R2 smoking a cigarette.
Yep.
That looks just like this, because suddenly all that smoke's being kicked up all around R2-D2. Then Luke's trying to figure out what's going on. We have to fix this. And we know what's going on because we've seen the PSA. It's R2.
R2 has a problem.
He's got a pack of Marlboros hiding back there somewhere.
Right. He figures Luke's paying too much attention to the Wookiees to notice that he's like smoking the entire pack at once.
So I love that. We meet the first of our celebrity guests, and that's Art Carney. That's the old guy, the friend of the Wookiees, the tradesman. That's Art Carney. I don't know if you know Art Carney yet.
I don't.
Best known from The Honeymooners, the old sitcom with Jackie Gleason. Art Carney is Ed Norton, Jackie Gleason's friend on The Honeymooners.
Yeah, and it seems like he's going for laughs with
the
things that he's saying.
Yeah, he's a very, very funny actor.
It felt like there should be a laugh track with
him. Yeah, Art Carney requires a laugh track.
Because nobody else is laughing. Like, any of the situations that he's in, the Wookiees are all upset that Chewie's not there. There's an invasion.
This was at least the third holiday project I could think of that Art Carney was a part of. Art Carney was also starred in a classic Twilight Zone episode. There's a Christmas episode of the Twilight Zone called The Night of the Meek, in which Art Carney stars as like an old washed up drunk department store Santa Claus. And then he also did, probably just a couple of years after the holiday special, he did a Rankin-Bass stop motion animated, The Leprechaun's Christmas Gold. He plays a leprechaun.
It's almost like watching a fish out of water. If everything else around him was comedy, it would make sense. But it's just, he's doing a great job. It's not a comedy.
Well, there's comedy in this, or there's attempts at comedy in this, because like you said before we started, this was sort of a variety show.
Right.
In that it's so weird and awkward that it doesn't feel quite right. It's not like a regular, we're up on a stage putting on a show for an audience, which is your standard variety show.
Yeah, they're shoehorning it in.
But this was the era. In the 70s, there were variety specials all the time. We're going to go into the commercials at some point, because the commercials in this are wonderful. But there were at least three commercials for other variety specials during this thing, because there was a Lucille Ball goes to Nashville or wherever for like a country music variety special with Ronnie Millsap.
Yeah.
There was a Dolly Parton show that there was an ad for real quick. And there was a Bobby Vinton 50s style, because this was that 50s craze.
Everyone on roller skates.
Yeah, because this was in the 70s, late 70s. This was Grease and Happy Days and Sha-na-na and all that was going on. You know, the 50s were back in the 70s. So there was that Bobby Vinton 50s style variety show also. But those were like normal variety specials. And there'd be several of those on TV every week, as you could see. But yeah, the comedy is so awkward and forced, and it never really lands the way it should, because this whole thing's so weird. But it's comedy bits and it's music bits, because that's what people expect in it. But
they're Star also Wars trying to backdrop.
Yeah, it's not, we're not on a stage in front of an audience. This is a sort of a Star Wars story at the same time.
Right.
So the whole thing is just so wonderfully bizarre. Now let's go to, we have Chewbacca's wife, Mala.
Yes.
Is trying to cook the roast bantha.
Yes.
So she pops on the Julia Child style instructional TV show.
I thought that voice sounded a lot like C-3PO's voice.
That was not C-3PO's voice. That was the Great Gazoo's voice, however.
Oh, wow.
Because that's Harvey Korman.
Wow.
Harvey Korman, huge comedy star at the time, and probably best known back then from the Carol Burnett show. He's one of the regulars on Carol Burnett. But yeah, before that, back in the Flintstones era, that's the voice of the Great Gazoo, the little green dude. That's Harvey Korman. But here we see Harvey as the four-armed Julia Child-style TV chef.
I want to tell you something. I don't think you've ever seen me in action in a kitchen before,
no,
Kevin.
I haven't.
But I look a lot like Mala when I'm cooking things, just so you know.
You don't look like four-armed Harvey Korman.
No, but
you
I look like Mala.
You got the apron on,
yep,
and it's a disaster.
Exactly.
I would kind of like to see that sometime, safely, from a distance.
I'll have to videotape it one of these days, but that spoke to me, watching Mala cook. I'm like, that's what I'm like in the kitchen!
Now, here's where it gets weird. Art Carney starts dealing out gifts. He brings presents in for the Wookiee family. And
oh, yeah.
This is easily the most disturbing scene in this holiday special, if not in the entire history of television. Itchy, which is the grandfather's name is Itchy. Art Carney hands Itchy a virtual reality program to watch, evidently.
Because I thought that thing was going to perm his hair. It's like, I know what you want. You want a new hairdo.
Yeah, but he says, Itchy, I know what you'd like. It's wow.
Yeah.
It gives Itchy this virtual reality thing to watch. And up pops Diane Carroll. And this is another well-known performer of the time.
After like 2 or 3 minutes of a kaleidoscope type scene.
Yeah, there's some freaky lights and weird music and stuff before she even pops up. But then here this right. woman pops
very
up.
Very psychedelic.
This is Diane Carroll, beautiful woman.
Yeah.
And she was a very well-known Broadway star and did movies and TV and stuff back then. About a decade before this, I think, late 60s, she had her own TV show called Julia. And this was the first time an African-American woman had been the star of a TV show.
Wow.
But I would not call the holiday special a career highlight for Diane Carroll. It's bizarre because this is essentially like
it's naughty.
This is absolutely. This is like a sex tape for a horny grandpa to watch, which has been delivered by Art Carney. So she sings a song, which is fine, but it's the speech she gives before the song begins. It's
I kept waiting for a 1-900 number to pop up at the bottom of the screen.
It should have cost 50 cents a minute for a horny grandpa Itchy to watch Diane Carroll.
It flashes to his face, like his facial expression as he's watching.
That crazy, goofy chin of his with the stupid upper lip going.
His lower lip is coming up over his face.
Oh, grandpa Itchy. Easily the freakiest, most bizarre moment in this thing, I think.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
But then she sings just beautifully.
Oh, yeah. She's great. Diane Carroll.
Can we award her best costume of the movie?
Sure. Oh, that silvery hair stuff, whatever.
Absolutely.
She looked fantastic. Now we meet a couple of other original cast members from Star Wars, and that's here's Princess Leia and C-3PO, also communicating with the Wookiee family by video conference. Right. But here's Carrie Fisher. She's got the classic Leia hair going, the coffee rolls. And there's C-3PO. And that's R2-D2 was a robot in this, but that's real C-3PO. That's Anthony Daniels, the actual C-3PO actor. Now the stormtroopers arrive at the Wookiee house. And then we all watch Jefferson Starship.
Yes.
Because, again, that's how it goes in the world of variety television of the 1970s.
And it looks like the guy from Jefferson Starship is singing into a lightsaber.
He's got the freaky glowing microphone. This was Jefferson Airplane back in the 60s, you know, one of those freaky psychedelic hippie bands. And now it's a decade later. They've rebranded, reformed as Jefferson Starship. And now they're like a glam kind of freaky 70s band. You know, this was the era of Kiss, and now everybody just has to look crazy. I like the song. I think it's cool.
It was okay.
And those guys were into science fiction. Like Jefferson Starship did a whole science fiction concept album back then. So they were on board for this. We cut to another video after that because now young Lumpy. Lumpy, by the way, was played by Patty Maloney. And she was on everything back then. She did a lot of cartoon voice work as well as a lot of acting. And she worked with the Crofts, of course, because they used little people in so many of their Saturday morning shows. She was a regular on Far Out Space Nuts. There was a little alien named Honk on Far Out Space Nuts. And that was Patty Maloney. So she did a lot of fun work in the 70s. She was Lumpy. Anyway, Lumpy pops in a video and watches a cartoon, which his own father, Chewbacca, is a part of.
Yes.
It gets a little weird. But they cut to a cartoon animated by Nelvana, who would go on several years later. Nelvana produced the Ewoks cartoon, Saturday morning cartoon, and the Droids cartoon. And we love Nelvana from especially of this era. This is 1978, and this is right around that late 70s is when they made all those holiday specials, which I'm such a huge fan of. That's when they did The Devil and Daniel Mouse and Easter Fever and Romeo and Julie 8. And especially Cosmic Christmas. So they have that. It's such a fun, fluid, bouncy animation style that they did. And this is really considered the good part of the Star Wars holiday special. Like even Star Wars fans who despise the holiday special, most people say the cartoon was cool, though. They like this part.
It's our introduction to Boba Fett, after all.
Yeah, that's the most noteworthy thing about this cartoon is Boba Fett. This was the first time anybody saw Boba Fett, and a very cool little cartoon. All right, so Lumpy's room gets trashed by the stormtroopers at this point.
Jerks.
They're tearing the whole house apart.
And they rip apart what looks to be essentially like a stuffed animal.
Yeah.
Like they rip the head off of it.
It's a bantha. And that's what like the sand people had in Star Wars on Tatooine. That's the giant animal that the sand people had. He had like a stuffed bantha doll. And yeah, that was probably the most actual heartfelt emotional part of the movie was seeing Lumpy attempting to fix his beheaded bantha toy.
But when he can't, he's just going to put it under a blanket and gives it a kiss.
Yeah, and you're looking at this ridiculous Wookiee suit, so I guess that's a testament to the acting of Patty Maloney, that it's actually kind of a moving little scene.
All I could think is, this poor kid is getting his room trashed on Life Day.
But now it's Lumpy's turn to leap into action, because now Lumpy's going to hatch a scheme to break into the communication system of the Empire.
Yes, this is where we learn that Lumpy is a hacker.
So now Lumpy puts on an instructional video, just like his mom did earlier when she's watching the cooking show. Now Lumpy's watching a freaky robot teach him how to assemble his radio broadcast thing. I don't know if you realize this, but that robot that Lumpy watches, also Harvey Korman. That's the same actor that did the Julia Child cooking segment. Here's appearance number two of Harvey Korman as the wacky robot. Let's see, where are we? We should say, by the way, we did not bother with a spoiler warning on this, as we normally do, because you cannot spoil the Star Wars Holiday Special. Whether you've seen it a dozen times like I have, or whether you've never seen it before, we could not possibly spoil your enjoyment of this show. Whether you know everything that's going to happen or not, it doesn't matter.
I think we're really doing a public service by summarizing it. Basically giving cliff notes of this video is just like saving people 2 hours of their lives.
All right, now we're going to jump to my favorite part, because now we're heading back to the cantina. The yes. Legendary creature cantina, where Luke and Ben originally arrived in the first movie to hire Han Solo, and where Greedo gets shot, where it all went down. And inside, of course, behind the bar, working that bar, as mentioned at the top of this thing, there's Bea Arthur. The great Bea Arthur.
Yes.
Your favorite and mine. This would have been immediately post-Maude, her 70s sitcom.
Yes.
This is several years before Golden Girls. We're catching Bea Arthur in between her two classic sitcom roles. And then we also have our creepy lingering barfly dude with the hole in his head hanging around putting the moves on Akmina.
I would say that this is almost as creepy as the thing that Itchy is watching. This is the other, like, trigger warning thing in the movie.
This dude, and literally he's got a big hole in the top of his head.
And he behaves like it.
That's how he drinks.
Right.
Akmina pours drinks directly into the top of his head.
I keep waiting for something to grow out of it.
Did you notice that guy, also Harvey Korman? That is the third and final character played by the great Harvey Korman in this holiday special.
I didn't notice. All I noticed is that the guy was a creep.
So that's the chameleon-like acting ability. You didn't even realize. You saw the same guy three times in this special.
I had no idea.
And that's also the great Gazoo.
Wow.
And then it's all leading up to the Empire has instituted a curfew, and everyone's ordered to go home. And Bea Arthur's got to shut the bar down, which leads to her stirring performance of Good Night But Not Goodbye, Just One More Round, Friends, that right. wonderful song that she sings.
Yeah, she keeps saying, this round's on me. Like, I want to go drink at a bar that Bea Arthur is running because...
She's buying.
Right. And I love how she essentially leads them in a conga line type style.
I'm telling you, that's a wonderful scene. I am thoroughly entertained by the cantina scene every time I see it. And you see Bea Arthur at the top of her game, and you realize what a great performer she was, and a musical performer. She was a Broadway star. People only know her sitcom work, and she didn't get to do a lot of singing on Maude or on Golden Girls. I'm sure once in a while they must have found a reason for her to sing now and again. But yeah, she can belt out a tune. And it's a great song and a great performance. And there's freaky aliens all around her, and I love it.
We should mention that this is the one part of the 2 hours in which the mayor joined us to watch.
The mayor of Chickentown, last seen when she ran to the door to get our pizza, did not stick around to watch the holiday special with us, but she did pop in to watch Bea Arthur. Yes. She said, I'm only going to come in and watch Bea Arthur. That's the only part I like. And I can't blame her.
No one can blame her. At that point, You're a little more than halfway through the movie.
We're slowly creeping towards the end of this thing.
And I thought, if this is the part that the mayor was excited about, what more is there?
All right, so as we go crashing towards the end,
yes,
albeit at an excruciatingly slow pace,
yes,
because they got to fill 2 hours, Han Solo and Chewie do eventually arrive at the Wookiee house. And we have to point out, Harrison Ford is in this thing. We're looking at actual Harrison Ford. And that's the part that people who are first learning of the existence of the holiday special, and when you tell them, yeah, the real original cast is in it, people will think, well, yeah, but not Harrison Ford. And you have to say, yeah, yeah, Harrison Ford.
And every time it pans to him, his expression is saying, what am I doing in this movie?
I think he does a fine job in it. But you can't help but think, they must have caught him about a half hour before he would have said no.
Right.
You know, if the phone had rung the next day, he probably would have been at a point in his career at where he would have said, no, I'm not doing that. That's a terrible idea. No way. But no, we get actual Han Solo in this. It was amazing that they actually rounded up the whole cast. So Chewie's home for Life Day.
And there's never any explanation of what Life Day is. We're left to guess.
Well, they go into it a little bit, because now we go to the actual Wookiee celebration. The Wookiees, as promised, they slip into their Snuggies.
Yes, I was promised Snuggies, and this holiday special delivered.
Yeah, it is at the very least. They are big, weird red robes.
Right.
Suddenly you see a whole community of Wookiees all shuffling toward the light, wearing their red robes. Which is weird, because the whole rest of the year, they're naked.
So are they, like, going to Wookiee church? What are they doing?
It's some sort of a Wookiee church. And they refer to the Tree of Life. They're celebrating the Tree of Life.
And, okay.
And Princess Leia kind of explains it. She does a little speech at the end. And then Carrie gets to sing.
And that is spectacular.
Yeah, and Carrie Fisher can sing.
Yeah.
And again, I don't think there's any other Star Wars project where Princess Leia gets to sing. But Carrie Fisher was a real singer. You know, her mom was Debbie Reynolds. Of course, and when Carrie was very young, she was part of her mom's stage show. Debbie Reynolds would bring out Carrie to sing. And there's video, if you watch like the documentary about the two of them, Carrie comes out and she could just belt out a song when she was a teenager. And they kind of cleverly wrote the song for Carrie to sing, playing off the Star Wars theme song. So Carrie sings, it's Life Day, there's all your Wookiees. And then there's one more just final shot of the Wookiee family. Here's Chewbacca and his family just gathered around the table. It's time to carve the roast beast, apparently.
Or the roast bantha.
The roast bantha. And that's it.
Right.
During Carrie's speech, before the table scene, they kind of cut to Chewbacca just thinking, and that enters just flashback of the movie.
Right.
Chewbacca's just thinking back on Star Wars.
Chewbacca's having like a mental montage.
Yeah, he's like, oh yeah, remember Star Wars? That was a big hit movie.
Might we remind you, because this looks nothing like what you know us from.
But also throughout the special, even before that, they pulled some footage from the movie. Like all the battle scenes of spaceships and stuff, that was all just yanked out of the movie.
Yep.
They just pulled stuff from Star Wars and dropped it in as needed.
Same battle, different day.
The shot of Darth Vader walking down the corridor or whatever, that they just pulled that out of the movie too, I believe. They didn't shoot any new Darth Vader footage for the special. And also, I think some of the cantina stuff was from the movie. All right, so that's the special. Now, we're watching this on bootleg DVD, of course.
Right, and there was an option at the beginning.
There's a couple of options on our bootleg DVD. Please don't tell the authorities, but yeah, we have a bootleg DVD of the holiday special.
Well, we'd have a non-bootleg if the non-bootleg existed,
it's
right?
Highly illegal contraband that we have here. But yeah, the holiday special, of course, has never been officially released. I wonder if it ever will be. There's always a chance. Especially now that Star Wars is out of the hands of George Lucas. Because
right.
Lucas infamously despises the holiday special and wishes it never happened and really tries to keep as much distance as possible from the holiday special. But Disney owns Star Wars now. So if somebody, if Disney ever decided, wouldn't it be fun to just release this thing?
Yeah, you Disney know? Loves a good holiday special.
Sure, so why not? I would love to see a proper release of the holiday special someday. However, for now, we have the bootleg, and it's kind of fun that it only exists in bootleg form. Now, the bootleg DVD that we have, yeah, it has a couple of options on it. For one thing, it has riff tracks on it.
And you said?
You could play this with the riff tracks commentary.
Right. You said no riff tracks for you, Cornflake.
I was not going to allow you to enjoy this with the riff tracks, which makes it into an actually thoroughly entertaining, legitimately funny experience because the Riff Tracks is funny, of course, and they do a great job riffing the whole thing. I recommend that people watch it with the Riff Tracks. However, we should point out this bootleg DVD is ripping off Riff Tracks as well because they stole the Riff Tracks commentary and dumped it on this DVD. That Riff Tracks commentary is not supposed to be on this thing.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a bootleg as well. If you're going to watch it with Riff Tracks, pay for it from Riff Tracks, please.
Yes.
Anyway, we did not watch the Riff Tracks commentary. But the other option before you play it is it says, do you want this with commercials or without? And I immediately said, oh, yes, we want the commercials.
I can't imagine it without commercials.
These are commercials from 1978, and they're at least as entertaining as the special itself.
They are precious.
So funny. We loved it. Yeah, we mentioned the ads for the variety specials already. But there was also...
I need some sheer indulgence pantyhose.
A couple of different pantyhose commercials. Why did they think Star Wars fans were...
Because Star Wars fans are no-nonsense.
We had no-nonsense pantyhose. And then the other one was even crazier,
yeah.
Though. The sheer indulgence pantyhose.
Yes.
Because then there was this like women like on the steps of buildings kind of gyrating.
Dancing, yep.
Swiveling their hips. Naughtily.
Some butt shots.
So yeah, two different pantyhose commercials.
And one was way more boring than the other.
We like the ladies garment workers union label commercial.
Yes.
All those marching zombie people singing about the union label.
I loved the Fruit of the Loom commercials.
Fruit of the Looms is a classic.
Oh, that made me. And that Grammy in the middle.
You got the crazy old lady and then the dudes in the giant fruit costumes pop up.
I love that.
Always a treat.
She's playing with his grapes. It's
we
pretty
had
funny.
A couple of different commercials for Bell telephones.
Yes.
One of them with the old man that wants to go out and run a race with his daughter and his granddaughter after he called him long distance. But the other one is better when it's Christmas morning and you're just watching people exchanging telephones.
Yes.
Here, Merry Christmas. You have a telephone. Thank you. Here, I got you a telephone as well. We all have telephones now. Happy holidays. The Reggie Bar I enjoyed. Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
Reggie Jackson was a huge celebrity back then. He was a baseball player and America was just freaking out over Reggie Jackson. So much so that they gave him a candy bar. The Reggie.
It looked yummy.
Yeah, those were pretty good, as I recall. I think I had a Reggie or two in my time.
And that Hungry Jack commercial.
Hungry Jack biscuits. The goofy lady serving up big platters of biscuits to literally a giant. A giant would come into her house and eat biscuits.
That just made me so happy.
Which was outstanding. There was a brief news clip with a woman who gives a couple of weird updates about Russia, Soviet Union, and whatnot. Then she says, hey, it's been 9 months since the blizzard of 78.
In New England.
Yeah, which, by the way, I remember all too well, the blizzard of 78, legendary in these parts. And apparently there was speculation that the maternity wards would be swamped with newborn babies 9 months after the blizzard of 78. And they're announcing on the news that no, that did not happen. And they suspected all the men must have just been outside shoveling. That was actually on the news.
Yes.
In the middle of the Star Wars holiday special.
And the best part is, it's not even a news station in New England that's reporting this. It's some station down in Baltimore.
The rest of the country is learning that...
New Englanders shovel during snowstorms.
There was not as much naughty activity going on during the blizzard of 78 as suspected.
Well,
that's the...
Not enough people watching Diane Carroll, I guess.
That's your number one news item that night. Yeah, if we'd all had our VR helmets on watching Diane Carroll during the blizzard of 78, maybe the maternity wards would have been busier on Life Day. Thank you.
And then there was the robot spelled backwards.
Oh, Tobor.
Robot.
I don't remember Tobor. I do not remember this robot from when I was a kid, but that looked cool. I wish I had a Tobor.
I love how it says right in the commercial, Tobor. It's robot spelled backwards.
They explain that to you. Now, kids, let's explain how we came up with the name Tobor. Like, yeah, we got it. I think we figured out that part. But you're watching a remote control robot just zipping around the floor, and it looks really cool. Like a little black robot. And
very
sleek. I like it. I'd kind of like a Tobor right now.
I could go for a Tobor.
It could bring
and
us our,
a Reggie.
Think Tobor could bring us our coffee? Or at least bring us a Reggie, sure.
Yes, I need Tobor to bring me a Reggie stat.
I don't know that I'd trust Tobor with a cup of coffee.
Yes.
There was an ad for a TV show, which I have no memory of, a show called Flying High.
I don't remember it either. Something tells me I would have remembered that had I seen it.
Yeah, I don't think Flying High was around long enough for you to experience it. I totally missed Flying High. I wish I'd seen it. It looked pretty good. It was... It
looked like Three's Company in a plane.
It seemed to be like a sort of a comedy drama series about flight attendant, I guess. Yep. And Connie Stelica was one of the stars, who I best know from The Greatest American Hero a couple of years after this. Schneider pops up as well with some other ads for other CBS shows. Schneider from One Day at a Time. There's an ad for The Wiz.
Yes.
The Broadway musical version of Wizard of Oz. And one of the very last commercials that they showed, if not the very last, was for Colony Wine.
Yes.
You know, the dude, it's nighttime, the lights are down low, and he's cracking open his Colony Wine. There's a lady present. He's got a visitor there. I think they filmed this during the blizzard of 78, yeah. If you know what I mean. Now, the best thing about this, you may not have noticed, but I recognized immediately that actor, the wine guy, that's Spencer Milligan, that's Marshall, the star of Land of the Lost. That's the dad from Land of the Lost.
What?
Yeah. This was a few years after Land of the Lost. Now he's selling Colony Wine.
Wow. Well, I was promised Wookiees and Snuggies, and this holiday special delivered.
If that's what you're looking for, this is one of the best shows you could possibly see.
Yes.
I've spent a lot of time with this holiday special, especially in the last couple of years.
Explained so much about you.
Yeah, things keep coming up in my schedule. For which I must watch the holiday special. And I don't know for sure yet, but there may be an event coming up in the next couple of months involving the holiday special for me.
Oh, my.
Yeah. If that happens, I will certainly let you know. So, Cornflake, that's the holiday special. I'm so glad you could finally see it. We've been giggling about it here on the show all these years.
That bootleg needs a commercials-only option.
I want to skip the special. I just want to see pantyhose
and dancing fruit dude
from Land of the Lost and some Fruit of the Loom, please.
And a Tobor.
Yes, and Tobor. All right, that's the holiday special.
If you haven't watched it yet, carve a couple of hours out of your life.
Yes.
Get some pizza pie.
Don't forget, yeah, you need the pizza. That's mandatory. Man, that was good pizza.
Yeah, it was yummy.
Yeah, it's always good. Our regular place is good. We had to go to our regular pie source. They didn't answer their phone tonight. I don't know why. I hope things are okay at the pie house.
So we ordered from Plan B Pizza.
I had to move on down the list. Yeah, I went to another pizza place who answered their phone. So we got alternate pie tonight, not our regular place, but it was good.
Yes.
Wow. We might have to switch it up. Maybe we should keep going to this other place.
And you know when they arrive because you hear the music outside.
You heard the actual arrival of the pie for the first time in Flopcast history. That was so exciting. To me, at least. It's probably really boring to the listener. Like, what are you guys so excited about? It was exciting for us, but right. We're hungry. Cornflake, let's stop.
Okay.
Stop all this celebrating of the holidays and Life Day. Get us out of here.
Once you get your fill of the Star Wars holidays special, why not find us on the internet at flopcast.net? That's our very own website. At facebook.com/flopcast. How about on Twitter? Our handle is @flopcast. And we're on Instagram, too. The_flopcast is where you find us there.
Well, Cornflake.
Yes.
I know we're supposed to celebrate Lost Day this week, but I shall never lose my love of the Star Wars holiday special, and I hope you never do either. You've already lost it, haven't you? Too late.
2 hours of my life have been lost.
I'm just thinking about the time I lost watching that stupid show. All right.
Nevertheless, thank you.
We're going to get to some more normal, I suppose, holiday specials perhaps for next week.
Oh, sounds like a good plan.
That's the plan. See you there. See you next week. Goodbye.
Peace and Wookiee Ookies.
Do you enjoy TV shows, movies, video games, comics, or novels? Do you enjoy listening to people discuss geeky topics without getting bent out of shape when they disagree? If you do, then the 42cast is right for you. We're a podcast with a rotating cast of guests that discusses a new topic every week. You can find us on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Google Play, or 42cast.com. You can also support us and the entire ESO Network by going to patreon.com/ESO Network. That's the 42cast, your ultimate answer to fandom, geekiness, and everything.
All right, Cornflick.
Secret after show.
It is the secret after show. Yes, this is the part of the show that nobody hears.
Save for like a handful of people.
Maybe somebody's out there listening. If you listen through the promo, then your reward is this, the secret after show. So hello. This might be an extra long secret after show today, because here's my plan. Let's watch the holiday special again right now. You got 2 hours?
No.
And we'll record a commentary to go along with it right now.
That's horrifying.
Get comfortable. Should we call the pie house again?
going to need more than pie.
I need a lot more pizza. I'm going to need a more chemically influenced life day this time. I suspect some of the cast was rather chemically altered while they were shooting this thing. I'm pretty sure some of them were. Tobor, get in here. What you got for us?
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the T Public Store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.